and you think about them, and maybe you've got to know them recently, one starts to find, as people talk to you, they start to tell you their story, the things that are important to them, how they've got to be there. I sat next to a lady at the lunch that happens at Westwood Ho Baptist this last week, and I just sat down beside her and said, "How are you? Do you know who I am? And who are you?" And in 3 minutes, I had learnt that she was 91 years of age, that her husband had died, that she'd had a major operation and lost most of her stomach when she was age 41, and that God had kept her alive for 51 years, and it had been a wonderful blessing, and how she had actually cooked the meals that we were about to eat for 21 years, or was it 25 years, I can't quite remember. And if you've now identified who it is, haven't you? But but in no time at all, I've got a complete backstory to this person's life up to now. And when we look at other people, maybe who have yet to discover the joy of Jesus. Do you know, as I was driving in this morning, we were going along the, what is it, the A something that is the Link Road and goes out on the Atlantic Highway, as it's possibly called. And there was this big sign that says, "Turn right for the most exciting adventure of your life." And I thought they've heard about Abbotsham Baptist Church. We've got to turn right, which I had to do, and come down here and hear about the most fantastic things, and which we're going to do today. So when you look at somebody who has yet to discover the most exciting adventure of their life, that is the walk with Jesus, do we look at them and go, whoa, they haven't got it yet, and they must be in some way wrong or inferior, or, you know, and maybe look down at them a little bit? And then as we look back at ourselves and remind ourselves, actually, we had a backstory that led us to a certain place. And in fact, probably that backstory is still going on in the background there, in our lives, that was critically important. I was going to say to you, and I'm not going to do this to you now, because I actually don't know you quite well enough yet to do this. I was going to say to you, turn to someone near who you haven't spoken to very much just recently and ask them what their backstory was before they became a Christian. Because actually we need to remind ourselves about that. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you my backstory instead, which is easier on you and harder on me. But my backstory is a fairly normal, sort of ordinary. You know, I was not a drug addict before I became a Christian. And neither did I rob a bank or murder anybody. It wasn't a particularly dreadful history here. I grew up with very good parents. I was quite a rebellious youth when I grew up. And I was a great disappointment, I'm sure, in many ways to my parents. In fact, I'm never quite sure that I ever wasn't a disappointment to my parents. But there we go. And we went to church. We went to the parish church because my father was head of the church village school. And so we went along on Sunday. I even got confirmed, which is what bishops do to you. You know, they lay hands on things and say special things over you there. And you're meant at that point to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that I didn't. Because I was not yet, at the age of 14, I think I probably was, a convinced Christian who had reached the point where I could genuinely respond to Christ. And I didn't get to that point until I went to college, and by now I was 18. So I was not an old person becoming a Christian, or even a middle-aged person. I was the very beginning of adulthood at 18. And I met Christians who were explicitly Christians, as it were. It couldn't have been, could it? But it was, as it were, for the first time. And they were different in the way that they spoke to each other and the way they treated each other. And it was quite clear. They talked to me about Jesus Christ, and they talked to me about faith, and they said, "Come along to church." And I started to ask those questions. I remember even one time writing a list of all the reasons you should believe in God and all the reasons you shouldn't believe in God, laying them side by side there. But there became one time when I realized that actually, if I was to become a Christian, I had to, because I clearly wasn't, I had to make a point of commitment where I turned to Christ. There had to be that exact moment there. That was my backstory. It was ironically 1 o'clock in the morning one day, shortly before Christmas, in the year 1968, when there was that exact moment when that happened. And after that, I knew that I was now a follower of Jesus and was a Christian. But there was a backstory that led up to. And people can have that backstory that leads up to that point where they become a Christian till they are the moment before they die. That backstory can go through there. And perhaps we need to understand more sometimes that we have a story where we did not turn to Jesus. And other people have a story to the point where they did not turn to Jesus. My own son, his name is Ben, said to me, I had to come to the point where I didn't have your faith, I had mine. It's a critical moment, isn't it? There. That point was when he read a book. I had a book by Lee Strobel. Question of Christ, I think it's called. I may have forgotten the title. Anyone know the book I'm talking about? I recommend it strongly for anybody who's inquiring into the Christian faith. I had this book, and my Ben borrowed that book. He read that book, and he met Christ. Then he was ready to say, I am a Christian. And he became, and he was baptized because he was. But we all have that backstory where we rejected Christ at some point, and then we became. Whether we grew up in that Christian home and we can't identify, as I can blessedly identify, that moment at 1 o'clock in the morning when I became a Christian, whether that point came almost secretly and hiddenly, and we can't go, I know when, there was a point where our faith became secure and we trusted in Jesus. Where we met, as in the title of this service, the risen Christ. And we're going to look at one such point today. And very aptly now, we're going to sing hymn number 51, Be Thou My Vision.